Welcome to season two of Marla by the Numbers, the podcast from the International Association of Fairs and Expositions, with your host, Marla Calico, President and CEO of the IAFE. Podcast 16 is sponsored by ETIX. Today's guests will be Scooter Corrick with North American Midway Entertainment and Josh Woods with the Greater Gulf State Fair, covering eight themes for new revenue generation. Let's listen in.
Welcome, everyone, to Marla by the Numbers. So glad to have you with us again today. We have some really special guests with us today. We're going to be talking about eight themes for revenue generation. This came out of a special project. And my guests today include Scooter Corrick from North American Midway Entertainment and Josh Woods from the Greater Gulf State Fair. Scooter, why don't you go first? Tell us just a tiny bit about yourself and your background.
I'm Scooter Corrick with North American Midway. I'm the Vice President of Client Services. I'm primarily involved with our Canadian unit, which plays nine really great fairs, including the Calgary Stampede. I started actually in the Calgary Stampede in 1977. If I happen to make it through this year, it'll be 44 great years at North American Midway and Conklin shows. And I'm just thrilled to be here today, Marla. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Scooter. And of course, we know you well, too, after you served as president of the Canadian Association of Fairs and Exhibitions. And that meant a term on the IFE board. And that was great for us. And now one of the bright young stars of our industry, Josh Woods from the Greater Gulf State Fair. Josh, tell us just a little bit about what you do there and how you got there.
Sure. So, again, my name is Josh Woods. I'm the executive director at the grounds and the Greater Gulf State Fair here. Kind of what my experience, I've been here going on 6 years as executive director, but was on the board before then. And so really kind of some, I guess, 11, 12 years in some form of fashion in the industry. So I get the opportunity to lead a team of seven folks as full-time staff, work with board directors that are all under the age of 40 to produce the fair. So it's a fun job, best job I've ever had.
Well, I know from an IFE standpoint, we are so very glad you're involved in our association and appreciate all that you contribute and your tremendous engagement. Well, Scooter, why don't you kick us off and tell us about this special project that CAFE, the Canadian Association of Fairs and Exhibitions, undertook.
Well, Marla, this started really in January. I was reading a report in the National Post, national newspaper here in Canada, that said the Canadians during the pandemic had saved six times their normal earnings or savings that they had, you know, in the past 50 or 60 years. And really what drove that was, as the article went on to say, was that in 2020 that people didn't go on vacations, which would usually cost a family, we'll say $5,000. And it's a weird fact to find out that whatever you spend on a vacation is exactly the same amount of money that you spend in your home community by going out for dinner, going to the movies, or going to your local fairs. So not only Matt, I knew there was pent up demand for fairs and exhibitions because everybody had missed it. But now all of a sudden I realized that there was a fair amount of pent up financial resources. I talked to a really smart guy here in Calgary, and his name is Robert Rothenberg, who's a financial advisor. And we spent a couple hours on the phone, you know, knocking things back and forth. And it was true is that, you know, the Canadians, not only do they have a great pent up demand for entertainment venues, but also they had a bunch of financial resources that they hadn't spent in 2020. That led me to think that, you know, maybe the 2021 fair season was going to be restricted attendance. And if you have a restricted attendance in a good economy, well, every economist is going to tell you that it's a good time to raise your price. So I kicked that around with some of our fair association or associates across North America. And, you know, you could probably go from a fair that maybe now is $15, you maybe could go to $18. But the problem with all of that is that soon 2021 is going to end and this pent up financial resources are going to end too. And how do you go backwards from $18 gate back to a $15 gate? So then that also spurred some conversations around the CFE board that was one that, so if raising prices at your gate and maybe first hand off at your carnival, maybe there's other ways that we could raise money with inside our fairs by offering them more spending opportunities. Well, Christina Frank at the Canadian Association of Fairs and Exhibitions, the executive director, she was the one that put together this great working group. And I think there was eight of us all together. And we were from, you know, the service sector, from the fair sector, from small, medium, large fairs. And also we got Josh on board to give us that USA perspective. So we developed this over the course of about 7 weeks. And after many meetings, I'm really proud of the document that we came up with here, which I think Marla is going to be able to share with our listening community. And it, you know, it gives us some great ideas of looking at other methods to, you know, offer the customers during fair time and after fair time, when non-fair time periods, to help your association need some money or make some money. And of course, after going through the 2020, I think we all need a little shot in the arm, a little revenue injection.
Absolutely. So
this kind of thing started. Yeah,
absolutely correct. Well, and indeed, you're right. Christina and the folks at CAFE have given us full rights to present this material to be posted in our library in June of 2021. So, Josh, why don't you kick us off and talk about one of the ideas, themes that really came to you as a way that fairs could increase their revenue generation?
Yeah, so obviously 2020 threw a curveball for a lot of us, and you know, I'd probably go ahead and say that a good many of the fairs around the country, and especially members of IFE, they own their property. So one of the drivers that we were thinking about was how do we put those grounds to work, or our facilities to work? So basically one of the things is we came up with different data around different events, and really to kind of focus on you know, throughout the year to help drive some revenue. One of the things that we came up with was we implemented it ourselves at the Greater Gulf State Fair. Here was we held a community yard sale. We built it as Mobile's largest yard sale, and basically what we did was we have 940 parking spots, and we sold parking spots where people could bring their stuff, set up in a parking spot, and have a yard sale that day. We're very successful at that. We generated some revenue. It's going to be an annual event moving forward. So that's kind of just one of the things that we thought about. You know, food events throughout the year was a big driver, I know, across IFE as well. So that's really trying to expand upon those year-round events and hopefully host to those type of things to drive revenue was one of the ideas we came up with.
One of the great things I saw in that category of using your grounds was to create a beer garden. So, for example, you know, community taverns perhaps were shut down, but why don't you do a community beer garden at the fairgrounds? I thought that was very innovative.
Yeah, paint circles on the ground, social distance, put everybody in a bubble and let them have some fun.
Good. Well, Scooter, I know you and I have talked about the concept of limited access, and we've seen a couple of ideas on that. So what were some of the ideas that came out of this project on limited access?
You know, we talked a lot about this whole idea. And, you know, at the beginning of the fair season, especially back in March, it looked like, you know, that maybe there was going to be restricted access to Canadian fairs. And in some instances, there probably is still going to be. So we started taking a look at some of those demographic groups are out there. And one of them, maybe that we've lost a little bit in the fair industry over the years, is our seniors. And, you know, then maybe it could be, we came up with the idea that maybe you could open your fair earlier, or the very first hour of your fair would be only for seniors only. And I see that drugstores across North America have done that, especially during pandemic times. The second part is that one that we also spoke about and we came up with, you know, maybe fairs are struggling with their advanced sale programs, and a great way to generate advanced sale programs is you own the park. If you have an advanced sale program or advanced sale ticket that you bought for the fair, maybe the very first hour is all for you. So we kind of explored those type of ideas, and, you know, and then creating access for people that wanted to come to the fair so that they knew that there wasn't going to be, you know, wasn't going to be jammed, that you could do that through a printed home system by booking a time at the fair so that you could come, and then there would be less crowds during that time, that the fair could control that. So that was kind of our limited access type ideas. And I think we came up with some good ones, especially the advanced sale one. I'm going to tell you, if you don't have a good advanced sale program, start one now and let them in for the very first hour, and people are going to line up by the droves to buy those advanced sale tickets.
Yeah, absolutely right. Well, one of the other areas that I thought was really important, and I've seen this coming for some time, but I don't think I put it together with the COVID impact, but focusing on experiences. I know I just went on a vacation and I didn't bring a single t-shirt back because I spent all my money on experiences. So what did your group come up with on that area?
So as far as experiences, really, provide value back is kind of the focus of what we thought about. I know that, I'll let Scooter talk a little bit about this, of selling a behind the scenes tour. He's got a great example of how that worked. But also the nowadays there are entire businesses that are around people showing up and walking through, paying to walk through here just to take selfies in these settings. So really making sure that we have places where our patron can have that experience and share it on social media. Scooter's got a great example that he always kind of shares.
What you got there, Scooter?
So this really evolved from the Calgary Exhibition Stampede, is that, you know, they're trying to round their board members so that they understand all the facets of the Calgary Stampede itself. So the Midway has been one. So I was asked about maybe 9 or 10 years ago to do a Midway tour for the people of the board. And it was great because we got to show them some of the great things that North American Midway does, which aren't apparent to the regular paying person that comes to the fair, or even to the people who work at the fair, like behind the scenes, how our generators and how our electrical works, how our uniform department works. We're running a really downtown accounting department, which people wouldn't, you know, that's completely out of mind. So that kind of sparked this whole thing, is that, you know, maybe behind the scenes tours at each one of the fairs that we go, that the normal person wouldn't even think that exists at a fairgrounds. And there's so many facets that are out there. And I think that people are looking for those unique and experiences, those unique experiences that can really give, and one of a kind experiences that you can't get anywhere else. So we thought that was really an exceptional concept throughout this group.
Absolutely, absolutely. The magic behind behind our front lights, right? What all goes on behind that? And Scooter, also, I think you wanted to touch about the concept of engaging the community and how important that was.
Thanks, Marla. Well, engaging your community, this one came out of an idea that we had last year at Greentown Fair in Indiana, and we were going to expand it to the Miami-Dade County Fair too. We were kicking around this whole idea. Is that, you know, we should really salute those first responders that did such a great job in our communities during this pandemic. And our idea was that on the very first day of each one of these fairs is that we would offer them a free admission or maybe even a reduced admission to thank them. And we weren't going to limit the first responders. We were going to give it to everybody who helped us through this pandemic. So that's the FedEx truck driver, and it's nurses and doctors, and it's, you know, it's the guy that stood at the convenience store throughout this whole thing and helped us get through this whole thing. And that was a great way, I think, to engage with your community. And I think it's also a good idea, too, to thank those first responders. And that's a great thing for the fair to reach out and do. I really do.
Yeah.
The second one is that I really like this Instagram exhibit idea. You know, when youth are coming down to the fair, predominantly millennials that are coming down to the fair, they're looking for those exceptional Instagram moments. And if you can put together an Instagram exhibit that really highlights all those facets of your fair and then plays into that Instagrammable type moment, I think that really plays volumes into your community. I've also seen, this has been going on for years, but I think we should expand on this, which is lunch at your fair. You know, a lot of our fairgrounds are in downtown communities. So take the South Carolina State Fair. They've got a really exceptional lunch at the fair, where if you come down before 1 o'clock, you come on into the fair for free, you go and have lunch, they give you a chip. And if you're out by 1 o'clock, you don't have to pay for your admission. And it's just helping the food vendors and also helping people experience the food at the fair. So there's some really great opportunities there.
Thanks very much, Scooter. We're going to take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsor today. And when we return, we're going to toss it to Josh to talk about how we can use different demographics to increase our revenue generation.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
For over 20 years, ETIX has provided ticketing and marketing for fairs across North America with cashless solutions for rides and games, self-service kiosks, cash drawer management, and much more. Visit hello.etix.com for more information.
Welcome back. I'm talking with Scooter Corrick from North American Midway Entertainment and Josh Woods from the Greater Gulf State Fair. And we're talking about the ideas for revenue generation, taking advantage of the fact that people didn't go anywhere in 2020, and how can fairs do that? Josh, one of the areas that came out of this report was that we should look at different demographics and who we can get to our fair. What were some of the findings?
That is, so a lot of times it's easy just to kind of get into the mindset of we know who's coming to the fair and we market to those people. But really thinking outside the box of what ways can we get people who maybe traditionally don't come and join us, how can we get those in? So some ideas that we came up with were offering thrifty times, you know, not a discount at our gate or anything like that, but the thrifty times would be to help promote some of our retail vendors. So work with them to develop maybe what we're going to call it at this year's Greater Gulf State Fair, we're going to call it Thrifty Thursday. And we're going to have various discounts in our marketplace where vendors can come and take advantage, or you know, vendors can offer those discounts and patrons can take advantage of it. But on top of that, we're also going to open the marketplace a little early and provide programming specific to a women demographic. So we hope to have fashion shows by boutiques. Come paint a door hanger with your best friend. Just take that Thursday, find a sitter for the kids, send them to Mom's Day Out, and come out here and enjoy yourself. So really offering thrifty times and building some programming around that to help bring in another demographic. You know, we kind of already touched on it a little bit too, but offering some special programming or special discounts for seniors. Maybe before the fair normally opens, we offer an ability for senior citizens and retirement homes and different folks to come out. We feed them lunch. We provide some sort of programming, some sort of educational programming as well, maybe about health and wellness. And then, they're gone before all the crowds show up. So really, really kind of thinking outside the box of how to bring in people that traditionally might shy away or not come to the fair.
Yeah. I know one of the other areas, and you actually have both touched on it in different concepts, is food and culinary experiences. And we've talked about food at the non-fair times, having the food fest or food events. We've talked about lunch at the fair at South Carolina State Fair. Was there anything else that came out of some ideas of that food and culinary experience that could drive some revenue for the fairs?
One of the good things that kind of came up was we came up with a box program. So if you think about it, like I think HelloFresh and all that fun stuff is really big right now. So developing maybe some programming around people register different chefs or different restaurants or different stores, grocery stores come out. We provide a box, a take home kit. You come to the fair and on our stage is this chef and he's cooking this meal. And you get to take it home with you and try it yourself. So that was one area that kind of came up that we thought about of how do we tangibly offer the ability for folks to carry an experience and also some value away.
Anything else, Scooter, from your recollection of a food and culinary experience?
Absolutely. No, Marla, last year, of course, we couldn't get our carnival open. We only got open out of 4 out of 124 dates. So what we did was we put together three food units, which traveled mostly primarily to fair locations across North America. And we just offered food experiences with, 5 or 6 of carnival foods. And instead of having the fair there, it was kind of a taste of the carnival, and I found that there's a marketplace for that. And I think that fairs can engage in that in off time periods is that, you can rely on maybe your carnival operator during a winter festival, or maybe even in the spring before the carnival goes out, that there's opportunities for those food types things. It doesn't just have to be during fair time. I really learned the lesson in 2020 that we can do this any time of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I know one of the other concepts or theme areas for revenue generation that I thought was somewhat interesting was social good, where maybe the concept of people are prioritizing their decision based upon, who it might benefit and that type of thing. Were there any ideas that came out of that particular theme area about how a fair might do some social good and still raise some money?
Yeah, well, I think that fairs do that primarily now, although it's maybe not one of their main focuses, that we're doing a lot of social good out there, especially with 4-H and FFA and, you know, agricultural exhibits and volunteers. And I'm not sure that fairs have really thought about bringing this out to the forefront of what they do. And maybe it's time that, you know, you can take some of those great programs that every fair in North America does and bring them to the forefront and make your consumer and the regular fairgoer understand the great that they're doing out there in the community. So I think that's kind of important. And, you know, that kind of resonated through our working group for sure.
Mm-hmm. I noticed one of the ideas was something that we have seen, but not a huge uptake on this, but is working with your food bank and supporting your food bank, and whether that might be animals from the auction that you went ahead and held or doing some special drive with that. Was there anything along that line that your group talked about in that particular area?
Yeah, we did talk about that, you know, that you could have yourself, you could have yourself a family day and that your admission would be a donation to the local food bank. Mm-hmm. And we developed that at the Red River Exhibition in Winnipeg, Manitoba about 10 years ago. And I'm going to tell you, it's nothing less than a major hit in that town. Like, people wait for that day to come down with their canned goods and line up and have a free pancake breakfast and get into the fair for free.
Yeah, and it certainly makes a difference in those communities. I know we've heard where that event tied to the fair may be the single largest donation to the food bank instead in terms of the entire year. So I know that's very important. Well, we're coming up. We've got a few minutes left to go forward here. Josh, were there any other ideas that struck you as something that we particularly ought to share today?
Yeah, so obviously kind of going back to my original thought of you know, a lot, we have a lot of space. Traditionally, fairgrounds have a lot of space. And off fair time, it's great to try to use that. One of the things that we had is to partner up and take advantage of drive-ins and drive-throughs, whether that's a movie or whether that's, a food event or a laser light show, something like that. That's just one thing that we're very blessed as fairgrounds to have large facilities and a lot of time lots of land. So really focusing on thinking outside the box of how can we use that year round to generate some revenue. That was real key. I benefited greatly from the thoughts that came from that.
Yeah, good. Scooter, what other ideas came out of this report that we need to share with our listeners today?
Well, I'm gonna report on one from our friends over at the Eastern States Exposition, the Big E, and Eugene Cassidy, who happens to be the president of the IFE. So he offered, I think in maybe January or February of this year, he offered a lifetime pass to the Big E for $1,000, and that gets you in your general admission for the rest of your life. Well, reports are that he sold out that program. He had 1,000 of them available, and reports are that he sold it out in less than a minute. So I applaud him for all of that. So, you know, we really get out into our community and sometimes we don't understand how important we are in our community. And you have such a big following out there. And I really love that type of programming that Eugene did that really demonstrates how important our fair is. And guess what? He earned some money while he was doing it en route. And he's going to get himself a customer for life. Maybe he doesn't get the gate admission out of him in the future, but I'm sure every year they're going to come down to the fair and spend some money doing something. So I just love that type of programming idea. And I think there's lots of ideas you can tie around that whole Big E type idea.
Yeah, and I think, as I recall talking with him about that particular concept, they got a snap or a picture of the youngest one that got that lifetime pass. And don't you know, as he or she gets older, they're going to bring friends, they're going to bring children, they're going to bring grandchildren. And that's just such a tremendous, tremendous opportunity there. You know, one of the other things that I thought was interesting was the concept of mental health and wellness, of how the fair could kind of tie with that and, help celebrate. And I think about, as I have watched the fairs that have gone forward, I think our mental health across the world has been imperiled by this disease. And what better place than the fair to get back to normal? But was there anything in particular in those theme areas of that there was a specific idea? Either of you had anything from that?
Well, I really like the idea of, that we've been pent up at home for so long. And, you know, just for us to be able to get out to the fair is going to be good for our mental well-being. I spent all morning down at the Calgary Stampede, actually. I'm going to tell you, I loved every minute of it being outside. So we talked about those race and competitions, you know, which a lot of fairs are doing. You know, the Tulsa State Fair, Amanda Blair, she does a really great 5K, I think it's a 5K corn dog run. And it's just plain old fun. It's fun in the community. It's good for your mental health. It's good for everybody to get involved in this thing. And it's, she does it before the fair. I got to tell you, it's great exposure for the fair too. So, you know, that kind of hits a lot of keys right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Josh, I'll toss it back to you one more time for any other ideas that came out of this that you want to share that maybe we've overlooked thus far.
Yeah, not necessarily, you know, just anything specific, but I definitely want to challenge people to think outside the box. You know, there's one thing I think in our industry, there's no idea that's too crazy. Normally our patrons pretty cool with any crazy thing we come up with. So I definitely want to challenge people. This has been a great exercise for me, just really to you know, talk to folks, to think about you know, the different things we can do. But I definitely want to just challenge everybody to think outside the box and just go do it. Quit talking about it, just go do it.
Yeah, now is not the time to belabor the decision. Just try it. And if it sticks, you know, try something else, right?
Very true.
That's great. Well, that's a great, I think, wrap up from you. Scooter, we'll go to you for any closing comments you might want to share.
Yeah, well, when we started this thing out, Marla, we threw into the garbage can. That's always the way we've done it, which I see so much. I see that in my business, and I see that in the fair business. So we just started to reinvent this. I really salute the 9 people that helped us with this endeavor. I'm really proud of the results of it. I'm really proud of our committee of what we put together. And I say to fairs, you know, I think this is a very, very worthwhile exercise for you to go and just inside your fair, gather 9 very dedicated people, volunteers, staff members, and just talk about the things that you do inside your fair and see if there's a different way you can do them to engage your community and help grow your fair and look for other revenue sources while you're doing it.
Absolutely. And again, our special thanks to Christina and the board of directors at CAFE for allowing us to share this document out. It will be in the IFE online library, and we encourage everyone to look at it. We'll spur some ideas and get you thinking about ways to celebrate your community, serve your community, and make some more money while you're at it. Well, thank you both. I so appreciate you taking the time to join us today. Again, my guests today have been Scooter Corrick from North American Midway Entertainment and Josh Woods from the Greater Gulf State Fair. For Marla by the Numbers, this is it. Thanks. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us for Marla by the Numbers, sponsored by ETIX. To find out more about the IFE and our members, please visit us online at fairsandexpos.com. Or visit our Facebook page, IAFE The Network.